Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Heyo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. This is the CHGO White Sox podcast. I am Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Today's show will be previewing the opening series between the Chicago White Sox and the Detroit Tigers. That will start tomorrow. Opening day is Friday, April 8th. We'll be going through the pitching matchups, we'll be going through the lineup, and we'll be going through our predictions of what will happen. Let's introduce the panel. It's my co-host, as always. First up, Vinny Duber. He is the CHGO beat writer for the Chicago White Sox beat. You can follow him on Twitter, at Vinny Duber. And the man in the middle, even though you can't see him today, Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter, at EchnerWall23. He is the CHGO community leader. Guys, it's weird not to be on camera. I got to be honest. Like it feels normal, like a little conversation here, but it also feels like it's not real.
Sean, you're such a narcissist.
I was literally going to say
that. Oh, really?
When's the last time you did a podcast without makeup on, Sean?
Definitely be like March 3rd, honestly, I think. Yeah. I think when we did our little Zoom FaceTime show from my mom's basement, our little run-through, I think that was the last time it wasn't on video and on with makeup on.
I mean, I don't hope I'm not talking out of school. I remember Sean one time had to rush home because a mirror was broken at his house. Yeah. A huge mirror was broken at his house because Sean likes to look at himself. And he had to make sure that mirror was okay. He had to tape it all together.
A 7-foot mirror. My girlfriend thought it was a good idea to get it shipped to our house, and it wasn't.
Oh, it arrived broken.
It arrived broken.
Wow, that's bad luck.
It was a 7-foot mirror.
That's seven years and 7 feet of bad luck right there.
And let me tell you, right after that mirror shattered, I got this job. So, I mean, is that bad luck? Or, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was good luck. I'm just saying. Like I haven't seen the bad luck come
yet. You're a believer in the reverse superstition.
I think so.
You only step on cracks. Yeah,
you make your own luck.
I make my own luck. Let's talk about the Chicago White Sox and their opening series against the Detroit Tigers. Again, it starts on Friday, April 8th. Let's go into the icebreaker because we've been talking about projecting the roster, projecting the 28-man roster, projecting the bullpen. But there's a new name that we haven't talked about that has made the opening day roster. Yesterday, it was let known to Tanner Banks of the Chicago White Sox that he will be on the opening day roster after 168 appearances in the minor league, 743 innings pitched in the minor leagues, 30 years old. He was never a ranked prospect, and he was a senior sign in the 2014 draft. So a long, long journey for Tanner Banks to get here, but he will be on the roster for the Chicago White Sox on opening day, a left-handed pitcher. Pretty surprising move here for the Sox. Was shocked that he made it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have predicted it. And in fact, kind of fortuitous, actually, Tuesday morning, had the opportunity to talk to Chris Getz, who's the White Sox farm director. And he was, you know, I asked him, who are the names, you know, in the minor leagues when it comes to starting pitching depth, because that's going to be very important as we move forward. Obviously, Johnny Cueto was just added to that list, but Tanner Banks was one of the names that he said. He included him amongst that minor league pitch starting depth, and so I think that's where we expected him to be, you know, maybe a AAA to start the season, but no, he's going to be on the big league roster. We don't know yet whether he's going to be a starting pitcher or just pitch out of the bullpen. Getz did mention that he has been versatile since the White Sox have had him, but really the main detail that Getz mentioned was a 4-mile-an-hour increase in velocity for Tanner Banks, who's a 30-year-old journeyman who's, you know, been going through the minor leagues for years and years and years. To add 4 miles an hour, yeah, that's impressive. They liked his slider. They liked the fastball. So here he is getting a shot, and I think he's going to be basically what Vince Velasquez was supposed to be before Lance Lynn got hurt. That would be my prediction. We'll find out from Tony La Russa whether that's the case or not. But to have a guy who can be kind of that swingman role that can go from the rotation to the bullpen, you want to have that guy, especially when innings are going to be at a premium and you need somebody to fill in after your regular starters. Maybe Tanner Banks can slide into that pretty easily, but another lefty in the bullpen, which is something we've talked about a lot too, and that's important after Garrett Crochet's injury.
Herb, filling out the left-handedness of the bullpen here. You got Aaron Bummer, Dallas Keuchel in the rotation, and now Tanner Banks. We're, you know, thinking that Bennett Souza might make it as well, but Banks being officially added to the roster, what do you expect from him?
I mean, like Vinny said, it's been a long time. This will be his first major league action. The White Sox, I think, drafted him in 2014, and he's just been toiling away in their minor league system ever since. That is amazing. I'm just rooting for him because of the story. Like, you got drafted as a college guy, and now you're a grown-ass man. You're 30 years old and finally getting your opportunity to live out your dreams. Even if it's one pitch, I'm sure he would take that in a second. It's an amazing story. I hope he pitches well. Looking at his stat line, more of a starter than a reliever, so that role might mess him up. But three batters, get him out, Tanner.
Right.
Hopefully you do well in the stead of what Garrett Crochet is missing. And if he's probably you said Bennett Souza probably and might make the team, if he's that third lefty out of the bullpen, fine, I'll take that. If he's a guy that's taking the ball after a Michael Kopech start and just bridging the gap between this and then the guys at the back end, I'll take it if he's a good pitcher, but the story is awesome.
The story is awesome, and you mentioned the idea of length or getting three outs. I think that he definitely might be a guy that they look to if, maybe Dallas Keuchel has a rough inning. Maybe Dallas Keuchel has a rough outing. Maybe Dylan Cease or Giolito, one of these starters, has a rough outing. You mentioned the ability to be that swingman, Vinny. He had 10 appearances of three innings or more last year in Charlotte, one appearance where it went four or more. He's more effective as a reliever, but the thing that I think the White Sox are looking for him to do is be effective against left-handed hitters. Last year, 246 average, 333 on base, 462 slugging, so not great. I mean, still a near 800 OPS for Tanner Banks as a left-handed pitcher against left-handed throwers. But still, at least under 300. And if you said, maybe he'll give you some length
after Dallas gives up his 38 home runs, as right. Referenced yesterday.
Yes, we'll see if he can play Floyd Bannister's illustrious record. But yeah, if he's making progress towards breaking that record, well, Tanner Banks will get some appearances for the Chicago White Sox. The other little thing we want to mention before getting into the Tigers and White Sox series, Jose Ramirez just signed an extension with the Indians, the Guardians.
There's a dollar in the swear jar.
Damn it. That's like $6 for you. I got like two in there. We'd actually need the actual jar. I'll have it before our show on Friday. Pre-game show. Join us.
Yeah, join us. It's going to be before the game.
11:45. Yeah,
15 minutes before the game.
Wow, Sean is not happy right now. You can't see him, but he's stewing.
The Cleveland Guardians. J-Ram getting an extension with the Cleveland Guardians. It's because the whole, they just, the ending's the same. I'm blaming it on Cleveland Guardians and J-Ram getting an extension. Yeah,
it's horrible.
Too.
He signed for under market value. If he's a free agent at this time, he would have signed for much more. So it hurts people who are going to free agency as a third baseman like he is. But I guess he wants to stay in Cleveland. Good on him. Go ahead. I mean, there's no one around you, bro. Enjoy your money. Enjoy some melts and some other things. Go to the Rock Hall of Fame. LeBron's gone. But I don't see him long for that contract. Padres are hot on him before this happened. I think he can be still traded just like Nolan Arenado was traded 2 years ago, I believe, after he signed a long-term extension with the Colorado Rockies. So I don't like it for the White Sox standpoint, but I don't think he's long for that team.
Yeah, that's very possible. You bring that up, and I mean, we've seen guys get moved like that after signing these extensions. You bring up Nolan Arenado, and Cleveland's a team that likes to trade guys away. You know what I mean? So, they did it with Bauer, they did it with Clevenger, they've done it with their guys, and they did it. Yeah. So
Carrasco,
Kluber,
they've done it.
I think you might be onto something there, but for the moment, it's a good day to be a Clevelander, I guess, because, this is the kind of thing that people kind of lament has gone away from pro sports, guys signing up to spend their whole careers in one place. Obviously, White Sox fans would love to see so many of these guys on the current White Sox roster do the same. So good for fans of the Guardians today. We'll see in a couple of years if it still ends up being good for him.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully for their franchise, they can keep him. I mean, he's only 29 years old right now. He will only be 30 in September. You will likely have this guy until he's 35 years old. I mean, let him make a career in Cleveland. A lot of guys, it's been tough to look up. And you see the White Sox, you see Burley, you see Konerko, you see some of these recent legends with retired numbers. When was the last Cleveland number to be retired.
Jim Thome, probably.
Jim Thome.
Right?
I mean, and I remember
booed
him
too.
Yeah, and I remember him more as a Philly. I remember him more of a as a
you
White Sox.
Remember him more as a Philly.
What?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't alive when he was on the Cleveland team.
Oh my goodness!
Here it is again, Sean and his guys. Weird like history timeline. I don't understand what's going on with him.
Yeah, he remembers okay. him more of the Philly. That's weird.
Because there was like 1 year I was watching baseball. It was 2004. That's when he was on the Phillies, and then he got traded to the White Sox. Well, I guess it was 2 years later. Whatever. All right. Jim Thome.
Mercy.
Retired Cleveland
Jim
number.
Jim Thome, Philadelphia Philly legend. Yes.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what people think about.
Jim Thome, Minnesota Twin legend. Jose Ramirez, though, will be in your nightmares for a while, White Sox fans, unless he gets traded. It's a five-year deal, $124 million. $150 is guaranteed with some escalators, and there is a no-trade clause on the deal, but we'll see, you know, whatever happens. I mean, he can always waive a no-trade clause. But let's get into the White Sox and Detroit Tigers. Before we get into that, the best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. That's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making more than a $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com and we will help you out. PointsBet is your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. Introducing PointsBet's newest feature, the live NBA same game parlay. For the first time ever, you can build the perfect live NBA same game parlay only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game. And if you want more, if you want better odds, you can boost your live same game parlays by watching live, parlaying live, and boosting live with PointsBet. Online signup is available in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-5. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. First real, you know.
Ooh, I thought maybe you were having an aneurysm.
No. Why? Because I screwed it up? Or just don't know how to read?
There was that pause there. I was just a little concerned about.
It's okay. I just thought you're okay. Yeah. All right. Let's jump into the White Sox and Tigers here, previewing the first series of the 2022 series season. Guys, how does it feel? Baseball's finally back. I am so ridiculously excited to stop wondering about what could happen and just, you know, talk about what will happen. The White Sox and Tigers will face off this weekend. You're going to Detroit. Should be fun.
It should be fun. I like the Motor City. I think it's a little underrated. But yeah, I haven't explored, you know, as much of it as I've liked. I've been to the Motown Museum, which is a must stop, obviously. But yeah, I mean, listen, you're right, right? We're getting answers. We've been talking for months, you know, what will happen? You know, we got nothing but questions for months. And the answer is always, you know, we have our educated guesses, but the answer is always, well, we're going to have to wait and find out. And now we're going to start finding out. And that's good. And that's fun. We like baseball, right?
Right. We do like baseball. I like baseball a lot when TA is going to be playing. TA will be out for the first two games. What effect will that have for the Sox in the lineup?
Lurie Garcia will be hitting leadoff. I'm not, you know, saying that as a certainty, but I guarantee it's going to be somebody like that. Leading off the season for the White Sox will be Lurie Garcia because, you know, Tony loves him. He'll be probably paying for TA in those in his stead, and so we just plug him right back into the spot that TA would have occupied. I'm not sure you want to start with right-handed Lurie Garcia versus Eduardo Rodriguez. It's not my call, though. So, and hopefully Lurie's like, F you, Herb. Here's a home run immediately at Comerica Park. Now what? Talk your shit again. I was very shocked that he hit that home run versus Boston that game, and then also the home run in game three. So Lurie is an underrated player. I have a unhealthy dislike for him, even though he is the longest tenured White Sox currently. I just think he represents, it's not necessarily the person, he represents something of old that I don't want to continue into the future. But I look forward to Lurie starting off the season correctly with a home run just to make me extra angry.
And listen, I'll say this. I mean, he will do that. But the thing is, I mean, Tim Anderson, we've talked about it so many times, you know, think back to last year, second half of last season when he was dealing with those sore legs. Take him out of the lineup, and it's a very different team. And I think, you know, you maybe shouldn't be surprised if it doesn't look like the White Sox you've been expecting the first couple games just because, you take Tim Anderson out of there, you're basically unplugging something from this team. And, you know, they can obviously do a lot of damage without him just from a on paper standpoint. They got guys and guys and guys in that lineup. But the thing that he does for them, intangibly, is very important, as we saw last year, and it has an effect.
And will Tim be up there in the press box with you guys?
He's going to be sitting next to me. We're going to be hanging out.
Yeah. You better.
I don't know. He probably has somewhere way better to sit than next to me in the press box.
Like, I'm honestly a little bummed, though, that opening day we won't be able to see Tim Anderson. You talk about starting the right way. Like, I just could picture Tim Anderson walking up there against Eduardo Rodriguez. First pitch, just right over the third baseman, right over the shortstop, right before the left fielder. He just walks on into first base. Yeah, I mean, it's just I'm so excited to watch him play. I've missed our guys, it's just another 2 days without Tim Anderson. It hurts my heart. Leury García had 5 games last year where he led off for the White Sox. 263, 300, 368 slugging. There was also a game where he batted third, which I'm glad I got a lobotomy and forgot about, because I do not need to remember.
It must have been like a Sunday game where everybody was off and Leury was the best hitter available.
And Adam Engel was the cleanup hitter. I don't know what happened that day, but
it also could have been a day when Moncada was batting third, or Leury had to come in for an injury. Yeah.
But they had 4 at bats, so I don't know.
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, so. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, we'll see. looking at the lineup, it shouldn't be too. I mean, what should we expect here? I know, obviously Pollock, Robert, and Aloy out in the outfield, because García will be in the infield for Anderson at shortstop. Moncada has had a head cold, or has had some hip injuries. He was out of the last spring training game. Do we expect most guys to be playing 3 games because there is an off day on Monday? Are we expecting, all the starters to be starting the first 3 days, at least lineup-wise?
I think it depends on the guy. I mean, I think, Aloy, Robert, Abreu, Moncada, and even Josh Harrison probably should be expected to play all 3 games. You'd probably see Yasmani Grandal catch in 2 of those games, maybe DH in another. But I think right field, as well as DH, allows Tony to mix in guys, to get in there. And one of the points that Tony made last year, when they were dealing with injuries and they had all these fill-in guys kind of playing so much, was, hey, you got to keep these guys fresh. You can't say we're going to sit somebody down for a week and then put them in the starting lineup because a guy needs a day off and expect them to do well. So, you might see Adam Engel in right field on Sunday. You might see Andrew Vaughn and Gavin Sheets trade off some time at DH, something like that. And obviously you're going to get Leury in there as is necessary for Tim Anderson during Tim Anderson's suspension. But yeah, I would expect some of those guys to play all 3 days because, like you said, they get the off day on Monday. But other ones, I mean, hey, it's the first 3 is 162. Got a long way to go, and so you got to mix and match them in there.
Yeah, like Abreu is going to play all 3 games.
All 3, it takes a lot for Abreu to go out of the game. I mean, remember last year where Hunter Dozier ran into him, it was reported that he's like, no, I don't want to come out of the game. And they're just like, no, we just got to take you out, bro. Huh? And he finished off that series with a game-winning stolen base of home plate. I think that, yeah, most of the players that Vinny named will be playing, and we have 2 lefties maybe scheduled. So Eduardo Rodriguez starting for the Tigers on Friday and possibly Tarek Skubal on Sunday. So you're going to get Andrew Vaughn, I think, in both of those scenarios, probably playing designated hitter. And then in that middle game, maybe you get a right-hander pitching and Casey Mize, and then you get Gavin Sheets there. So I like it right there. I like the platoon early, but like I said a couple episodes ago, most of those at-bats, if they're going head-to-head, are going to go to Andrew Vaughn, even though if they have a right-hander on the bump. That is a perfect way you could just get them in the game, even though there's a righty on the bump. You can probably play Gavin Sheets right there in the second game. Was that Saturday? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a perfect segue because I wanted to talk about the pitchers. So you're talking about right-handed and left-handedness right here. Let's get into the probable starters. The probable starters right now have not been released for Game 2 and Game 3 of the Tigers, but I'm assuming it's going to be Casey Mize in Game 2, and I'm assuming it will be Tarek Skubal in Game 3. So we'll go with those 2 assumptions right there.
We have to whiteboard that, Vinny? Yeah. The Scooble.
It's a Scooble.
I don't know if our guy Steven ever put this in there, but in the drops, there might be like a screwball reference in there, like all the sound effects. There might be. I don't know.
I mean, I'll be honest. I doubt it's on this machine. Okay. I mean, it might be out there.
On the main. Yeah. We're in Studio
B. It's coming.
B.
There'll be plenty of Sox Tigers matchups we can drop that for in the future.
All right, we'll tease it. We'll give a screwball tease to all you fine folks.
And you guys, we got all three of us. We got a pregame show coming Sunday. If he's pitching Sunday, we can get it ready for Sunday.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, now have an
annoying pregame on Sunday if that is the case. All right, let's go off those assumptions though. So game one, Lucas Giolito versus Eduardo Rodriguez, Sox versus Tigers. Game two, Cease versus Casey Mize, and then game three, Kopech versus Scooble. Let's go game one, Lucas Giolito versus Eduardo Rodriguez. Giolito in his last start against the Tigers, 5 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 run, 1 walk. 3 Ks and a 5-4 win on October 2nd, 2021. So one of the last games that we've seen, regular season games, we've seen between the Sox and the Tigers. What are you expecting from Giolito on the bump after adding 20 pounds of muscle this offseason, Herb?
Dominance. I mean, on these games that are highlighted, I think that Lucas brings the best out of himself. And so I don't know if we're going to get that maniac that showed up in Oakland. That guy is a thing, and that's why I want him to be the ace of this staff, because if that guy shows up, the one that showed up and dominated the Oakland A's in 2020 playoffs, there's no chance. And the 20 pounds of muscle hopefully gets his fastball a little bit more life upstairs, and compare that with the tunneling on the high fastball, the high changeup too, and he used his slider last year a little bit more in the second half, I think, to after one of the pitches wasn't working, and so he scrapped the changeup and went more to a slider. Hopefully the whole arsenal is there for him in Motor City on Friday. I'm looking forward to Lucas Giolito starting his AL Cy Young campaign. Even though I didn't pick him for it in our prediction show, I think he and Dylan Cease both can be AL Cy Young contenders this year.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely both can be, and I think that's definitely Giolito's goal, especially being in a contract situation. He definitely wants to avoid arbitration after what happened this year. What are you expecting from Lucas? You've seen him down in Arizona. You've been able to talk to him. What's the mindset for Giolito this year?
Yeah, I mean, let's put it this way. I think, you know, when you go into a new season, so much attention is on the guys who need to improve, or guys that you've heard from over the offseason made this huge adjustment, right? A huge mechanical adjustment. Ooh, how's that going to pay off? Or the guys who surprise you. And then you go back and you say, oh, what did they do from last year to now to be such a different pitcher? Lucas has gotten to the point in his career where he is one of the best pitchers in baseball. And so it's now making those little tweaks, those little things that make, you know, changes that maybe the casual fan or even a very in-depth fan doesn't maybe even pick up on. But it's something that makes a big difference to him, or makes a difference enough to elevate that game even further. And so I think you look at something like the weight that he put on, or some of the other things that he might be trying to do with some of his pitches, and you say, you know, it might not be drastically different when I'm watching him pitch in terms of, you know, he just struck that guy out. Well, guess what? Lucas has been striking guys out for a long time, kind of thing. Right. The results might not be all that wildly different. They are still probably going to be very, very good. But for him, in that moment, it's making a big difference. And I think that is something that, you know, could bump him to the top of those Cy Young conversations or something like that. Listen, Lance Lynn's not going to be pitching for 2 months.
Right.
Lucas Giolito is going to be expected to be the best pitcher on this team. And I think he, whether Lance was going to be healthy or not, expects himself to be the best pitcher on this team. That starts with opening day. And you know, he knows that he's got to make it to the end of October, you know, if he wants to achieve the things that he wants to achieve. But I can guarantee you he wants to start things off on a good foot. You remember 2020. When he had the not such a great start on opening day against the Twins. Oof. And rough. That was not what he wanted to do. And that was the first start he made season. By the end of that season, he was giving us the best performance he'd ever given with a no hitter in between.
Yeah. And you talked about, you know, stuff that he wanted to add and kind of turn into that, you know, tweak some things to make sure that he is the best form of himself. You talked about the idea of him changing up his pitch usage. I don't know if fans noticed, but you know, at the start of last year, he was using a slider 14%. That finished up around 30%, and that became his second most used pitch in September. That changeup that everybody knows, he's using it less and less to try to hide it from players more and more because they know it's coming.
Boston. So that's what I think about.
Right, and then that was honestly after May. That's when it's kind of switched when he started lowering that usage.
Has to happen. Like
it does.
Like Jose Abreu sometimes will look bad inside of the bat and then adjust inside of that at bat. I see Lucas Giolito having that same power to, okay, this is not working. Why is it not working? Cool. Like the Josh Donaldson home running is like, hey, no more sticky stuff. Lucas took that personally in that right. game and shoved it up their ass later on in that game. And that's what he did. Like after that Boston start, he thought maybe they were getting signs or they were knowing what he was pitching. He just changed it. You scrap that changeup, and it's like, all right, let's go to the slider a little bit more. It was effective. Where people think that last year was kind of like a bad year because they look at that game as a like a big, huge neon sign. Like, Lucas Giolito got rocked on Patriots Day. But his season last year was just as good as the season before.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So because Lucas Giolito made the adjustments that the hitters made to him, I think that's what a true ace is about. Once a team gets your number, reestablishing what you're doing and what they're doing to you and trying to beat them. Like the Lance Lynn thing where he just has a bugaboo against the Astros. It's the thing where he's not the ace because he can't get over that hump. Lucas Giolito sees a problem and he fixes it.
Yeah, and hopefully he can fix whatever was wrong. Through last year, I think it's just more about consistency for him than anything, making sure that he's able to bring that effort each and every start. This is the team that he struggled the most against in the AL Central, 14 games in his career, 4.57 ERA, which is the worst versus any AL Central team.
But
a 1.2 WHIP.
No Nick Castellanos anymore.
No Nick Castellanos, so we won't have to deal with Nick Castellanos. And again, like that was some 2018 worst pitcher in baseball stats.
Pitcher in baseball.
He's not like Dylan Cease who owns the Tigers. So some past little misfires against the Tigers in Giolito's past. They'll be going up against Eduardo Rodriguez. He has 5 games in his career against the White Sox, 3.60 ERA, 3 home runs and 30 innings pitched allowed. So that is limiting damage as a left-hander against this Sox team. A 1.0 WHIP in those 30 innings as well. So Eduardo Rodriguez has had success against the Sox in his Boston career. Now coming over to the AL Central, what's the welcome party going to be like for Eduardo Rodriguez on Friday?
I hate to say it. I think Eduardo Rodriguez is going to pitch a gem out there on Friday for the Tigers. Like you said, he's had success. There's no Tim Anderson at the top of the lineup to start the trends of hitting the ball a lot and hard in Detroit. I think Tim starts I think it was a couple years ago where he was out for a couple of games. He came back. Aloy came back. Offense immediately went. Maybe on Sunday when Tim comes back versus Tarek Skubal, we'll see that same offensive explosion. But I feel Eduardo Rodriguez is going to do very well versus the White Sox. I'm looking for a low-scoring game on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I think weather plays into that too. You White Sox fans are quite familiar with watching this team play in April and seeing Luis Robert have everything covered up except his eyes. You know what I mean? Jose Abreu, Yoan Moncada. Those guys come from where it's very nice. It's very nice weather, and to play in the Midwest in April is not ideal for anyone, but especially if you're used to nothing but good stuff. Eduardo Rodriguez is a good pickup for Detroit, certainly. They've got a nice team that they're building over there, but we'll see. The White Sox have feasted against left-handed starting pitching in recent years, so I do think Tim Anderson being out makes a big difference, but like I said, there's guys in that lineup. Right. Just because Tim Anderson's out of it doesn't mean you don't have to face Robert, Abreu, Moncada, Grandal, and Eloy. So we'll see how it goes.
Right, and what have you done for me lately, Eduardo Rodriguez versus the White Sox? June 24th, 2019 was his last start. 6 1/3, 6 hits, 5 earned runs, 4 Ks. So not a dominant start from E-Rod in that one. Before we go on, what are your thoughts about having Robert lead off? I know you mentioned Leury being the leadoff hitter, but at least for those first two games, Robert did bat 13 games leadoff last year for the Sox. Any chance that he starts leading off for the Sox of those first two games? You're nodding yes.
Yeah, Jenny. I think he will. Why wouldn't he?
I mean, he said Leury.
Yeah,
plug and play.
Right, exactly. You're saying get everybody used to their spot in the lineup. I understand that. I think these guys are professionals. I think Robert will lead off these first two games.
If I was doing the lineup, I would go for more of an unbased guy, and that's Yoan Moncada there. I would have him leading off and then go to Robert. But, you know, I'm fine if Robert's the leading off guy. Then you have, if you want to put Grandal right behind Robert, oh, please. Grandal in front of Abreu, to me, makes much more sense than Abreu in front of Grandal. But, alas, that's not going to happen because Jose's got the third spot locked up.
Yeah, I think that they'll probably, if they go Robert leadoff, they'll probably slot Moncada in second. But I think more aggressively, I think I like Grandal second. But also, too, I mean, like Abreu is batting behind him, and you don't want to put Grandal on to run for Abreu. I mean, there's a reason why those RBI totals are up, and it's because Yasmani Grandal isn't on base in front of him trying to score runs.
But if you're on base more than the guy before you, there 42% of the time he's on base, hit the ball with a fence, and he'll score easily.
Absolutely. Let's go into game two. Dylan Cease versus Casey Mize. I talked about Cease owning the Tigers. 9 games in his career against the Tigers. 8-0 with a 2.10 ERA. What are we expecting, Cease versus the Tigers here? And you've brought it up before that he owns them, but, I mean, those are great numbers right there.
Dominant. I believe his first start in the big leagues was that 4th of July weekend doubleheader against the Tigers. Abreu had the big walk-off, or was it Abreu or Moncada had the big walk-off homer? Abreu had the big walk-off home run in the other end of that game. So, listen, Dylan Cease has been pitching well against Detroit for as long as he's been a big leaguer, and I don't think you're going to see that stop because he's, you know, a really good pitcher, as we've spent the entire offseason discussing. The most interesting storyline, I think, as you for the beginning of this season, whether it's the first weekend, the first month, the first 2 months, how are Dylan Cease and Michael Kopech going to look? I think that Lucas Giolito, Dallas Keuchel, and before he got hurt, Lance Lynn, had kind of wiped those concerns about, you know, longevity really away, and maybe they would, you know, give them a bit of a shorter leash just because they don't want them to overdo it. But it seemed like those three guys, they were ready to do what they do on a regular basis come opening day. Now you got two of them still in the starting rotation. Dylan Cease was a little bit behind schedule, just the tiniest bit. Michael Kopech, obviously, we've been talking about for a while with the workload management that he's going to be handling. So, we'll see. I'm curious to see how many innings Dylan Cease is going to throw on Saturday. I'm even more curious to see how many innings Michael Kopech is going to throw on Sunday. Yeah. But that, to me, is the big storyline of this weekend, other than TA being out for those first two games.
And before we get into that, like, what do you think is the limit for these guys? Is there an innings limit that you won't see them pitch? Because we've seen Dylan Cease be really effective against Detroit April 29th last year. He goes 7 innings, allowing 3 hits, 9 strikeouts, and in a shutout performance.
I think that I would be surprised if Lucas Giolito goes 7, just because I think they want to take it easy. That's nothing to do with his performance. I think they just want to take it easy. Dylan told me when I talked to him in spring training, his goal for opening day was to throw 5 innings. That might have changed. The last few weeks of spring training might have gone really well for him.
Obtainable
and maybe he goes
goal. Yeah.
And maybe he goes past that. I would say 5 innings for Dylan Cease is probably likely. I have no idea what we're going to see from Michael Kopech.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's pretty crazy, and Kopech's a totally different story. We'll get to him on game 3. But you look last year, Herb, 92 pitches, 90, 85, 80, 91. That was the amount of pitches that Cease was throwing in April last year. I would be surprised to see any of these guys hit 90 pitches in this upcoming series.
Yeah, and if it goes well with the offense, you might see 5 and dive from Dylan Cease. And, you know, if he has no stress on his pitches, maybe Tony lets him get to 85 pitches and sees where he can go. But he has a bullpen full of people back there, which we've been talking about. They spent a lot of money on the bullpen. Might as well use it. Not having Dylan Cease go out there and throw his arm out on an April game versus Detroit. That's not smart at all. I think the White Sox will be heavily bullpen in this series, specifically because they have the off day on Monday and they want to showcase it. Like, you don't want to have Detroit get the third at bat versus Dylan Cease or the third at bat versus Lucas Giolito if they don't need to. We have people back there. Let them get a new look at somebody who's throwing 95 plus and something that's falling off the table. So I see this series as a 85 limit for Dylan Cease. Same around that same thing for Lucas Giolito and Michael Kopech, I don't know. If he pitches 85, I would be
he better have a no hitter.
Shocked. Like, yeah. Absolutely shocked if he pitches over 55 pitches. Yeah.
Well, and it might be why Tanner Banks is on this team, right? I mean, the opening day roster is just the first day of a very, very long season. And nobody gets moved around more than relief pitchers. Now, obviously, they've got some different rules to prevent so much turnover this season, but maybe that's why Tanner Banks got an opening day roster spot, to be there because they know what they can get from Dylan Cease and they know what they can get from Michael Kopech, and it's not enough to cover 2/3 of a game.
Right, and they know what they can get from Dylan Cease because last year, 16 innings pitched against the Tigers, 22 strikeouts, only 3 earned runs. He was dominant, so they're hoping that he will continue that stretch against the Detroit Motor City Kitties on Saturday. Casey Mize will be his opponent versus the Sox in 2021 last year. 16 innings pitched, 13 hits, 4 walks, 8 earns, and 16 strikeouts against the Sox. I think fans will most likely remember his start against the Sox on June 3rd when they hit 3 home runs off of him. It was Moncada, Lamb, and Grandal getting to Casey Mize. But their young star, their young ace, Casey Mize, you're afraid of him. I know you don't like him. I know you're worried about his potential.
I have shades of Justin Verlander, shades of Max Scherzer, young pitchers in the Detroit series system where I think the White Sox got the best of Max Scherzer early in his career. The best of Justin Verlander early in his career, then it was lights are on. That's enough. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the guy that I've been told to be. And that's coming for Casey Mize eventually. I hope it's not this year or ever, but it's going to come. And I just wish the White Sox tee off on him while they can. I mean, the 3 home runs were by Goat Jake Lamb out there. I heard you just say right there.
Rake Lamb.
Sorry, my bad.
It's okay.
I mean, is he in, what is he, L.A. Dodger now?
Yeah, Dodger.
God damn it. I mean, the guy was just so good back then. But Casey Mize is coming. I'm not too afraid of the guy who's going to pitch on Sunday, Tarik Skubal, mostly because the White Sox has gotten off on him. And he's a lefty, as we've been talking about. White Sox hit lefties particularly well.
Yeah, they do. With Mize, Vinny, anything in specific stand out on how he could probably beat the Sox? I mean, being a right-handed right-hander helps.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, good job by him not throwing with the left hand. Yeah. But I think when you look at these guys, particularly the last two in this series that they're going to see, you're looking at a group of Tigers players that are on the rise, right? And I think Herb, you mentioned it. These guys are maybe not scary this weekend. By the end of the year, they're going to be scary. Mm-hmm. And by the start of next year, they're going to be even scarier. I mean, this is what teams just watch the White Sox do, and who knows if the Tigers are going to hit on the number of guys that the White Sox to this point seem to have hit on. But whether it's in the starting rotation or whether it's in the lineup, there are some huge prospect names, some huge now former prospect names making their way, learning, developing at the big league level. Nobody was scared of Lucas Giolito when he was the worst pitcher in baseball. And then a year later, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. And that's what he's been since. So we're watching that. We watched it when it came to the White Sox. We're going to see it in segments when it comes to the Tigers when they come to town or the White Sox go to Michigan.
Well, and I think that's probably the best place to first bring up the Detroit Tigers lineup. One of those guys being the young prospect, Spencer Torkelson, he's making the open day roster for the Tigers. He'll be in the lineup for the Tigers this series. Torkelson, very, very dangerous with the bat. What are you expecting from Torkelson this year?
I picked him to be the rookie of the year in our prediction show yesterday, and I just think he has premium bat at a premium, well, he used to play third base, but now Yimer Candelario will be there, so he'll probably mostly get his at-bats at first base. But gap-to-gap, power, I mean, the guy was the number one pick overall a couple years ago for a reason. I think that they lost Riley Green. That was going to be the better of the two players. Mm-hmm. Riley Green got hurt in spring training. I think he's a center fielder. So White Sox dodged a bullet there, and then they went to go and picked up Austin Meadows. But Spencer Torkelson will be a nice player this year. Not special, but a really good rookie where you're like, oh, God damn it. He's going to come. He's going to be there eventually. And then we've got to deal with this goddamn team 18 times a week. Oh, no. I forgot. Balanced schedules next year. Let's go. Yeah, 14 times a year.
There you go. We don't have to see him as much. 430 at-bats last year in the minors for Torkelson. 30 home runs, which is insane, over AAA, AA, and Advanced A. So he got advanced and pushed through that that organization very, very quickly. All right, let's go to game 3. One guy I want to talk about mainly, Tarik Skubal has struggled against the the White Sox throughout his career. 4 games started against the Sox, 18 innings, 26 hits allowed, 8 walks, 3 earned runs, or sorry, 13 home run, 13 earned runs allowed for him, a 6.50 ERA against the Sox. So he will need to figure out his struggles against the Sox. But Michael Kopech will be starting that day for the Chicago White Sox on Sunday. We will have a pregame that day. Kopech, the biggest thing that I want to start off with is this is a big story for at least his career, because first start after being in the bullpen in 2020, but the last official start that he made in a non-doubleheader game was Detroit, September 5th, 2019, before he then gets injured and has to get Tommy John. So what does this mean coming back to the place where you kind of, where it all fell apart in a way for Michael Kopech?
It's been a while, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, and I think maybe it doesn't have that big of a meaning to him, because it's like, wow, that seems like a lifetime ago. And all the stuff
not
that
the same pitcher, right?
Not the same person, all the stuff that he's gone through. And I mean, listen, it's going to be all eyes on Kopech, and it was always going to be, but now he's the fourth starter instead of the fifth starter. Or if you thought he was always going to be ahead of Dallas Keuchel, he's the third starter instead of the fourth starter. I mean, this is a guy who now, not only are the White Sox hoping that he can be the guy they've always hoped he could be, they're relying on him. He is an integral part of what they hope to do this year. And it starts on Sunday. And I think, you know what? You talk about Tarek Skubal. It doesn't matter who they're facing. It doesn't matter who they're facing.
I don't think you guys need the drop.
We're kind of better without it, aren't we? Because it doesn't matter who they're facing, because what the offense does not matter in that game. It's all about watching Kopech and seeing what he does. Finding out just information about how they plan to use him here in the early going. But more so, can he come out and be the guy that was promised from the day that Chris Sale trade was made? We're going to find out this year.
All right, Herb, let's go through it. You know, perfect world. Lucas Giolito goes 7 innings. He's followed by Kendall Graveman and Liam Hendricks. Dylan Cease goes 7 innings. He's followed by Aaron Bummer and Liam Hendricks. So the only three arms that you've used out of the bullpen are Graveman, Bummer, and Hendricks. How do you follow up Michael Kopech, who goes 55 pitches, 4 innings? What is the route to get to a win? How do you handle the next 5 innings for the Chicago White Sox?
Well, if you don't use Tanner Banks in that regard, the first two games, maybe right there you switch up on the Detroit Tigers. You don't give them the same or similar things with Raylo right there. I would love him, because I think he's the better pitcher between the two, if him and Tanner Banks. Say if Michael gives you 2, go to Tanner 4, see how long he goes. If he can give you a full inning, awesome. If you can't, you bring in Raylo for 4 extended innings. Like, I don't know if he can pitch 4 right now, but yesterday's, or was it yesterday or 2 days ago when Michael Kopech pitched 2 innings and it was like 4 walks. That was the most glaring thing I saw on the stat line. I saw 4 walks. I was like, not good. He might have been working on something. Hopefully it was. That's what we cannot have. Michael Kopech 100% has to at least go 2 innings. That's the lowest bar right there. So Banks, then you get the ball to Raylo, then you can advance to whoever you need to. Like, there's no Vince Velasquez because he's pitching game 5 of this series, or the season. Then you eventually try to have to go and get, I'm trying to think of the people who are in the back. If we can still go to Aaron Bummer, because he only pitched 1 time, and there's an off day. So all hands are on deck right there for that game. If you need somebody to pick up innings and grab the W, I think Tony might be doing this depending on wins. Like, if they won on Friday and Saturday, I know he wants to win every single game and he feels that way, but human nature is to, you know, relax a little bit, you know, not push the pedal down to the floor because you've already won 2 out of the 3 games.
Sit back, relax, and strap it down.
Yes. Yeah. And so maybe he just like, okay, let's get this guy into the game, even though it's within 3 or 4 runs either way. Let's try to get this guy some innings, get some work in, not exhaust Liam Hendricks, because I don't think he'll pitch in that game. If your scenario comes true, he won't be closing out that third game. It'll be somebody else like Kendall Graveman.
Yeah, and this was from Sun-Times. The plan was for Kopech to be ready for 4 or 5 innings Sunday, but that might be a stretch now, he said. I came out there with a little to no feel and pressed a little hard trying to find the zone and work around it instead of attacking hitters like I know I should do. That's what Kopech said after his difficult spring training outing on Tuesday. So we'll see how he's able to rebound. But they're able to get 5 innings. that'd be, I think, ideal for the Sox. I mean, I don't think they'd be complaining at all if you get five innings from Michael Kopech in his first start.
He's striking zero people out. He's just getting people to hit the ball, apparently.
Yeah, he's just Jamie Moyer-ing, like throwing change-ups and 80 miles per hour on the corners. Yeah, he's
so
just
Jim Thome is a Philly, but you're bringing up Jamie Moyer.
Again, it's just insane, the weird...
He was a Philly.
His history.
Yes.
Jamie Moyer was a Philly. You're
and a Mariner
wrong.
And a Cub.
Yeah.
Jamie Moyer was on every team.
Jamie Moyer was a Cub before I was born. How about that?
Yes.
Not me.
All right. Let's go into, that's it. That's Michael Kopech. Any final thoughts? Because I feel like, five innings would be ideal for him, 55 pitches. Do we miss anything else to Kopech?
I mean, you're going to want to see the performance, obviously, too. It's obviously about how long he can go, how long they'll let him go. It's also, he's got to deliver. He's got to be a guy for them this year, and he's got to do it starting this weekend.
And excited to watch baseball, excited for baseball to be back. And if you enjoy baseball, you can download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO. Not only are you going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. If you're looking to bet on baseball this week, this weekend, use the PointsBet app. If you have any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com and we will help you out. And in case you missed it, online signup is available in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone, with Lucas Giolito's recent success against the Detroit Tigers and with a lefty on the bump. I will take the White Sox this Friday. So that is your PointsBet pick of the week. What are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, guys, let's go in. Three games this weekend against the Detroit Tigers. We will have a pregame show 15 minutes before Friday's game and Sunday's game. We will have an hour-long postgame show after Friday's game and after Sunday's game. Excited to start showing you the full output of the CHGO White Sox team. It should be fun. Vinny will be up in Detroit covering those games on Friday and Saturday. But let's get some predictions. Herb, three games against the Tigers. How many are the Sox taking?
They take two, and it's not the ones you think. They lose the first one. I think Eduardo Rodriguez shoves, and the White Sox offense does not show up as much. Then the White Sox take advantage of Casey Mize not being ready as yet and win that game. And, of course, they crush Turk Skubal, and they win the game on Sunday.
All right, Vinny, prediction?
I'll say win-win-loss. Cease is going to dominate on Saturday. I think Giolito comes out firing on Friday. TA comes back on Sunday. Probably does a bunch of cool shit, but the Kopech situation is too big of a mystery for me. And I think they might be trying to patch together some pitching that day.
We got a broom anywhere? I think we should bust out the broom. I think first series it's going to happen. I think the White Sox will definitely struggle against the Tigers this year. I'm really high on the Tigers. I think the Tigers can be good.
Wait. Are you saying the Tigers are going to sweep?
No.
Oh, okay.
Let me finish, my man.
I was like, say, where are you going?
I'm going with that. I think that they'll be difficult for the Sox, maybe not right away. I think that the Sox will be able to handle the Tigers this weekend. I really love Giolito against the Tigers. Obviously, I love Dylan Cease against the Tigers. I think they'll be able to handle him. And then with the lefty on the mound, I think you're probably going to get like a 10-8 ball game on Sunday. It's going to be messy. It's going to be sloppy. But the MVP of that game will be Tim Anderson. He hits like 342, 382, and has an OPS over 1,000 against the Tigers. He loves hitting against the Tigers. There's no Matt Boyd this year, but he loves hitting against lefties. So Tarik Skubal will be definitely terrorized by TA this weekend. You guys got an MVP of the weekend? Anyone that you think will stand out? Who you got?
I'll say Dylan Cease.
Okay.
I don't think the innings will be there, but I think the ones that he does throw will be very, very good.
Herbie? I'm going to go with my MVP for the season, Luis Robert.
All right, there you go. I'll go with Andrew Vaughn. I think that he'll get two starts, and I think Andrew Vaughn will have a nice day DHing. Lawrence, you got any thoughts here?
Well, I was just going to say, if you were picking a sweep, I thought maybe Liam Hendricks would be your guy because he's probably getting three saves.
Yeah, I think it's just Liam Hendricks, though. Liam Hendricks will just be Liam Hendricks. And,
Moniker and Rachel?
Yeah, Moniker and Rachel with his Lego collection. Just going out and shutting down the weird-ass Detroit Tigers. But thank you to everybody for listening. We are so excited for opening day. On Friday, it will be at 11:45. Herb and I will have the pregame show for you, the CHGO White Sox pregame show. We'll have pre and post all throughout the season. Guys, it should be a fun year. I'm excited to do it with you.
Can I change my MVP for the weekend?
Yeah, go ahead.
My MVP of the weekend is going to be Vinny Duber because he's going to be up in Detroit. And he'd be watching Jack Black. Oh, Jack Black. Jack White.
Jack Please Black.
Jack Black might show up. Jack Who Black knows? But great. Yeah.
Was well the other Tenacious member? D. Oh yeah, will the other member show up?
Kyle Gass.
Kyle Gass.
Yeah. No. It's oh. Of
Meg White. You Meg think Meg White. White's going to be there? I would bet against it, but we'll see.
Oh.
How about Allison Bosshart?
Maybe. You never know. From Dead Weather.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll see.
All right.
Married.
Meg and Jack were.
Yeah, I mean, that was the story, right?
I always thought they were brother sister.
That was the story.
That was the story, but they were actually married. Anyways, Friday, April 8th, around 11:45, Herb and I will have the pregame show for you. We'll take you up to that 12:10 start, and then we'll have an hour pregame show, postgame show for you on Friday and Sunday. Vinny will be joining us on Sunday for that pre- and postgame show, so it should be fun. Feel free to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You don't want to miss any of that action, CHGO Sports. You can find us there. We got over 13,000 subscribers, and getting more White Sox fans there will be great. Make sure to follow Vinny Duber on Twitter, at Vinny Duber. He'll be out in Detroit this weekend. You can follow Herb Lawrence on Twitter, at Ecknerwall23. You can follow the show on Twitter, at CHGO_White Sox. And you can follow me, Sean Anderson, the host of CHGO White Sox Podcast, at Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you, Lawrence, for your production, and go White Sox for the 2022 season. I don't know. Can we edit that out? The go Sox.
Yeah, that's much better. Let's edit that way.